Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls at out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have a very, very special guest with us right now, Dr. Kathy Burns. Kathy, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you so much for being with us. And we're going to be talking about Dr. Burns' book, Freemasonic and Occult Symbols. And I think it's really so important that you understand that dark forces leave their symbols every place. You see them every day. They hide them in plain sight and you never recognize them. And that's why I think your book is so very, very important.
Well, we do live in a world of symbols, and like you've so many times said and just now said it again, they hide these symbols in plain sight. We see them around us every day, but, you know, many times we just fail to recognize what they really represent. For instance, most people have seen the big G with the square and the compass, which is used to notify Masons that a Masonic lodge is in the vicinity, but do they really understand what that G stands for? I'm told that when you turn on a TV, you'll see the all-seeing eye. But again, do we know what that eye really represents?
That's, of course, in CBS. That's down in the right lower quadrant. Well, why don't you tell us what that eye does represent? Because, of course, that eye has been a symbol of the secret society since the beginning of time.
Well, the all-seeing eye is one of the most prominent symbols in Masonry. And, of course, an all-seeing or a single eye appears just about everywhere you look today. This eye, as used in Masonry, is really a representation of Osiris. Albert Pike, a Masonic author, and of course the main one behind Masonry, at least for rewriting the degrees and all, he clearly reveals to us that the all-seeing eye is, quote, the emblem of Osiris, the creator, unquote. He also says that Osiris's power was symbolized by an eye over a scepter. The sun was termed by the Greeks the eye of Jupiter and the eye of the world. And his, he's referring to Osiris's, his is the all-seeing eye in our lodges. So Pike has clearly now told us that that all-seeing eye that the Mason sees, it's a symbol of God, yes, but not Jehovah God, Osiris. Also, there's the Masonic author Carl Claudy, and he says this, quote, this is one of the oldest and most widespread symbols denoting God. We find it in Egypt, in India. The open eye of Egypt represented Osiris. In India, Shiva is represented by an eye, unquote. Of course, the right eye represents Osiris, which is the male. The left eye represents Isis, and that's the female. And a single eye, which is really neither right nor left, represents the all-seeing eye or the Horus hawk from Egypt. Now, since one of the representations of the all-seeing eye is Osiris, maybe it'd be nice to just mention who Osiris is. He committed incest with his sister Isis, which of course resulted in the birth of Horus. Pike again tells us, quote, Osiris was the image of generative power, unquote. In Egypt, he was the Egyptian god of the dead. And of course, he also represented a sun god. But we have to remember that in the Bible, we're told that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You can find that in Matthew 22, 31, 32, and then, of course, Mark 12 and Luke 20. The symbolic sign for Osiris and the sun was also the point within the circle, and the point within the circle, of course, is a phallic symbol. Again, going back to Albert Pike, he says this, quote, these two divinities, referring to Isis and Osiris, the active and passive principles of the universe were commonly symbolized by the generative parts of man and woman.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Kathy Burns. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our special guest this afternoon is Dr. Kathy Burns, and of course we're going to be talking about her book, Freemasonic and Occult Symbols, and we carry that here at Radio Liberty. You really need to get it so that you can begin to recognize the occult symbols you see every day. Now, as we pointed out earlier, they hide them in plain sight. They figure we're too dumb to recognize what they are. They know what they are. They're sort of inside jokes for the people on the other side, and there really are people on the other side who hate Christianity, and of course the book is Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, and we, as they say, we carry it. It's a fascinating, fascinating book. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more? You were saying that we turn on CBS and we see the eye down on the side. We see the single eye above the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill. We see the eye, in fact, the symbol of AOL. If you look at it very closely, is a triangle with an eye in the middle of it.
That's right, and you're going to see the eye. You'll see it even on a lot of your magazines anymore. An eye is just prominent anymore. There's another book called Signs and Symbols of Primordial Man, and in there they say that this point within the circle that I just mentioned is actually an equivalent for the eye, and the two are co-types. So if you just even see the point within a circle, they could be referring again to the eye, or if you see the eye, it could be the point within a circle. But either way, both represent the sun or the sun god, and both are phallic or sexual symbols. It is not a good symbol at all. And of course, we know that even though they're telling us that the name is Osiris or Shiva, these are just other names for Lucifer or Satan. And of course, that's where you get the Illuminati, the light bearer. You have to do with this. So this eye, and of course they use the eye also to mean, of course, that's where we see from. And that's where we do get illuminated or our light. And this is really a wonderful symbol for them to use to hide. I mean, it's something that everybody has. We all have the two eyes. And it just looks like perhaps a natural part of the body. But they're getting a message across with this. And there's a book, a short talk bulletin that's given out to be read in Masonic lodges. And in there they tell us, the all-seeing eye is to Masons the cherished symbol. Therefore, the thinking Freemason has reverence for this symbol. And then an occultist, Robert Hieronymus, he wrote that the single eye alone or in a triangle was used extensively by Freemasons and other secret societies. Alice Bailey, whose husband Foster Bailey was a 32nd degree Mason, also talked about the eye. She called it the eye of God, and she said it really referred to Shiva the destroyer. Of course, like I've mentioned, Shiva is just another name for Osiris or another name for Satan.
All right, we're going to just hang on here for just a moment, bring our last station on board, and then, of course, we'll have about 12 or 14 minutes without interruption. All right, fine. Well, Dr. Kathy Burns is with us, and we're talking about her book, Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated. And, of course, we're going into the background of these symbols, which have been used for literally thousands of years, hidden in plain sight, because there have always been secret societies and mystery religions. Of course, they don't teach you about that today in school. They don't teach you what my grandfather taught my father about the Illuminati, about the pervasive influence of Masonry in our courts, in our military, in our government, and how it influences, of course, so many of the major decisions that are made at the national and international level, or their dedication as an organization to the New World Order and the New World Religion. But, of course, Masonry is certainly only one of the multitude of secret societies, the Rosicrucians, the Theosophists, the Skull and Bones, a myriad of Bohemian Grove, all secret organizations, little known to the average individual.
That's right. And one more thing with the eye symbolism yet, that single eye can also be identified with the third or the spiritual eye, and therefore clairvoyance. Some people may have actually seen like a face with its eye in the center of the forehead. That is referred to as the third eye. And the occultist Alice Bailey said this, quote, through the practice of the power of visualization, the third eye is developed. She also goes on, no man is a magician or worker in white magic until the third eye is opened or in the process of opening. For it is by means of that eye that the thought form is energized, directed, and controlled, and the lesser builders are swept into any particular line of activity. The eye of Shiva in the human being has its position in the center of the forehead between the two physical eyes, unquote. And then a witch, Laurie Cabot, says this, quote, "Furthermore, the term third eye is not just a fanciful metaphor conjured up by witches and psychics to sound mysterious. From the oldest times, sages, magicians, and witches have spoken of the third eye as a doorway to all knowledge. Ancient peoples have intuitively understood the importance of this power spot and honored it in various ways. In the Orient, it is one of the seven chakras. Egyptian monarchs wore a cobra-headed ornament at the center of the forehead. In India, a red dot is placed over the third eye. Celtic priestesses painted the area blue." And of course, when we look at it too, we find that there's one thing that the United Nations Meditation Room, the Egyptian pyramids, the Temple of Understanding, and the prayer room in the United States Capitol have in common with the Great Seal of the United States, and it's at all CNI.
Well, you know, I think it's so interesting, Kathy, that we see this pervasive throughout the society. In fact, all of the various religions. I mean, there are really two religions. There's Christianity and Judaism on one side, and then, of course, all the other religions on the other side. And they all, of course, are on the other side are trying to tap into this mystical power to increase their own ability. Whereas, of course, in Christianity, why we're subservient to the God of the heaven. And, of course, we have no power other than through him. But, of course, all these other religions were they're actually trying to become more like gods themselves so they can capture that power. And some of them really do, don't they?
They do. And see, this again is the teaching of Masonry, is the salvation by works. You work your way into godhood. In fact, that's what the M triangle represents. It's the divine triangle, or the divine heavenly triangle. And then, of course, it means that man becomes a god. And they work all the other religions. Christianity is the only religion that tells us that we can obtain salvation by Christ and Christ alone. It is salvation by faith. All the other religions teach a salvation by works. And there was a Mason, Mr. Clymer, and he wrote in his book, The Mysticism of Masonry, he says, "Masonry does not teach salvation by faith, nor the vicarious atonement. Go through its degrees. Study the history as taught by recognized authorities, and you cannot find that it ever countenances these doctrines," unquote. Another Mason claims this, quote, "Masonry must ultimately be the sole religion of the human race, because it is the only religion in which the plan of salvation is clearly developed," unquote. Yet another writer, J.D. Buck, says this, "Every soul must work out its own salvation. Salvation by faith and the vicarious atonement were not taught as now interpreted by Jesus, nor are these doctrines taught in the exoteric scriptures. They are later and ignorant perversions of the original doctrines. In the early church, as in the secret doctrine, there was not one Christ for the whole world, but a potential Christ in every man," unquote. Yet another Mason says that Masonry teaches that redemption and salvation are both the power and the responsibility of the individual Mason. Saviors like Hiram Abiff can and do show the way, but men must always follow and demonstrate, each for himself, his power to save himself, to build his own spiritual fabric in his own time and way. Every man, in essence, is his own savior and redeemer, for if he does not save himself, he will not be saved," unquote. And it just goes on and on. This is the teaching, Masonry, Rosicrucianism, theosophy, and so on. And even humanism, although they deny God, it's still mankind must do the work himself.
Well, you know, I think one of the most interesting things is Mormonism. And I never knew a Mormon I didn't like, and they have a wonderful religion. The only trouble is they are a branch of Masonry. In fact, Joseph Smith was a Mason, and they basically preach that you can become as a god. And, of course, that is the antithesis of Christianity.
Yes, and see, their God, again, is a spirit brother of Lucifer. Well, that is not the Christians' God. They were not brothers, believe me.
Well, of course, the difficulty is there is just so much false information out there. But, of course, the real tragedy today is when you go to your church and they talk about cults, they will never talk about Masonry. Why won't our Christian churches talk about Masonry, Kathy?
Because too many of the so-called Christian pastors belong to it. I believe it's probably the Methodist, and they do have a good doctrine. There's a lot of good doctrine there, good biblical doctrine. But I believe it's about 90% of their ministers belong to the Masonic Lodge. The Southern Baptists, there's a high percentage of their ministers and their deacons who are Masons. In fact, even the Southern Baptist Convention had at least one or several presidents who have been Masons. how in the world can you really call out against Masonry when your leader is one?
And you know, one of the most interesting things, if you go to a Masonic funeral, why you are told that you will be, as you go for your judgment, you stand before the great white throne of judgment, which sounds really wonderful. I mean, I'm going to be judged before the great white throne of judgment. What's the great white throne, Kathy?
Well, if you turn over into Revelation, you'll find the great white throne there, but it won't be in a good sense. It will say to you there that I'll give the quote here first. When the Masons invest it with an apron in the Masonic ritual, he's told this, and here's the quote, "When at last, after a life of faithful service, your weary feet shall have to come to the end of life's toilsome journey, and from your nerveless grasp shall have dropped forever the working tools of life, may the record of your life be as pure and spotless as this fair emblem which I place in your hands tonight. And when your trembling soul shall stand naked and alone before the great white throne, there to receive judgment for the deeds done while here in the body, may it be your portion to hear from him who sitteth as the judge supreme the welcome words, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord.'" Unquote. Now that sounds wonderful. It sounds scriptural because we know the Bible talks, one, about the great white throne. It tells us that when we stand before God, if we've been saved by his blood and have lived like we should, we will hear this message, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the problem is, first of all, the Masonry's Lord, as we have seen before, is really Lucifer. Of course, it's many times listed under another pagan deity. But if we turn to Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, we can find that only the wicked people, only sinners, will appear at the judgment of the great white throne, and then they're cast into the lake of fire.
That is the judgment of the damned, the great white throne of judgment. And the trouble is that the average Mason spends so much time reading Masonic lore, he never reads the Holy Scriptures.
That's right. And again, see, when you hear this, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it sounds so wonderful. It sounds like you're standing there to be rewarded, not to be cast into hell. And I have gone through around 20 or so of their Masonic monitors now. I'm trying to go through one of each state. Now, not every monitor mentions the Great White Throne, but an awful lot do. A large number do mention it. They use that exact quote or very close to the quote I just gave, and they talk about them standing before the Great White Throne. And if the Mason could only realize what their own lodge was actually teaching them, I think they'd flee in horror.
I think that they would, too. And, of course, the great tragedy is this is often said at the funeral services, you know. And,
yes.
And the Masons, they have a Masonic funeral, a very specific funeral, and they usually talk about the great white throne there and how our brethren's going to be standing before it. And, of course, that would be the worst thing in the world. You don't want to go to the great white throne judgment, let me tell you. And the fact that most Masons don't even know what it is reflects, of course, how they are being misled. And, of course, our ministers are not explaining that to them. But they will not speak out in our churches about the danger of Masonry, which, of course, permeates every aspect of our life today.
Everywhere. And I want to go into the ritual given for the Eastern Star funeral, too. There's a symbol. Again, I explained some of this in my book. Most of that's in the Hidden Secrets of the Eastern Star, though, which you also carry. But the square, as you can see that, it's in Masonry. It's used very prominently as well. And what they do for the Eastern Star ritual, they actually form a square, and they do this also with the Masons, around the casket area. And you're wondering why. Well, they tell us that the square actually represents passing from earth to heaven. And then they go on and they said that what they're doing here, that the square also represents other gods too. But I think what's so interesting is that when these members form the square around the grave, Albert Pike tells us that this square refers to the heaven of Atum, which again is an Egyptian god. It refers to the solstices and the equinoxes, so we're going into the occult. But he calls it Amenta. And when I did research on that and found other writings, churchward and Mason tells us that Amenta is actually the underworld or hell. So even when they form that square, they're telling the person about going to hell.
And of course, the tragedy is nobody's telling the Masons or the wives of the Eastern Stars for the wives of Masons. We have the books, the Secrets of the Eastern Star, and of course, Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated. You want to get them, you want to read them, you want to get this message to your Masonic friends, because eternity is at hand.
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamet. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention to you about the Berkey water filters, and of course we carry both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. The Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel. It's attractive. You filter about 2.5 gallons of water at a time. You pour it in the top, goes through the filters, comes out the bottom, and of course there's a reservoir in the bottom as well. And of course it really does a great job taking out bacteria and cryptosporidium and heavy metals and the pesticides and other things that you don't want in your water. These are very standard. They've been used for 150 years, do a great job. And of course they are $239. If you buy them to us, you get a four tape set or a video that we produced, but they are not available either in California or in Iowa. However, there is a filter. It's called the Berkey Light. It's made out of Lexan, so it's transparent. You can see the water levels. The filters are black Berkey filters. They are only two of them in there. They do a tremendous job of taking things out. They do even a better job than the ceramic filters. However, they have to be changed every 2 to 4 years. But of course, this will take out the heavy metals and the pesticides, and no bacteria get through this for all intents and purposes. And of course, that take out a lot of the chlorine. Now, you will, of course, neither one of the filters will take out fluoride. If you have a problem with fluoride, you have to get the post filters and put those on, and those will last about 6 months, but it's separate from the others. So the Berkey Light is available in every state but Iowa. You can buy it if you're in California. And, of course, if you'd like to get one, you go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can see them there. And, of course, if you'd like to buy one, why, the Berkey Light is $199 plus $10 shipping. The other Big Berkey is $239 plus $10 for shipping. Why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. They're wonderful for camping. They're wonderful if there's an emergency. They're wonderful for just drinking water. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest is Dr. Kathy Burns. We're talking about her books, Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, and of course we mentioned we carry her book on The Secrets of the Eastern Star. And we're talking about the symbols that you see every day that you don't really recognize, and yet how many symbols do you have in that book?
I don't know, but I have about 728 illustrations.
About 728 illustrations of things that you'll see on various products and And of course, many of the people know exactly what they're doing. For instance, one of those symbols was the symbol of the World Future Society. And here you had Barbara Marx Hubbard and Robert Strange McNamara and Marie Strong, all of them deeply involved with the occult. And the symbol was a circle with three sixes. And time and time and time again, you'll see how they'll use three sixes, whether it'll be in the a symbol of the Trilateral Commission or the symbol of the Aquarian Conspiracy of Marilyn Ferguson, or you'll begin to recognize how they use these symbols all the time, 666. They understand the symbology. The average individual can't believe anything could be that blatant.
That's true. And I think what's interesting, too, that's that they call it different names, the 666 or Triskelion or Triskel, or just the, actually it's another form of the swastika. But that Triskel appears in many locals today, like you mentioned, the World Future Society. And it's also a version of the yin-yang symbol, which again is an occult symbol. And you've mentioned Marilyn Ferguson. Well, she uses the symbol on her book, and other books will have it on there, such as David Spangler has it on his. And of course, he's praised Lucifer. The Witch's Grimoire puts it on. And they brag about this number because they feel, the Trilateral Commission uses it, and they feel that by using this number, the more frequently we can use this, the quicker we can bring on, well, to them it's the Christ, but we know him as the Antichrist, onto the scene. And what I think is really interesting, too, is that the New King James Bible actually uses that very same logo. Now, like I've just mentioned, Triskel is related to the swastika. Well, we know what the swastika was. I mean, we think of it as, you know, Hitler using it most of the time. But the occultist Helena Petrova-Blavatsky said this. She said, few world symbols are more pregnant with real occult meaning than the swastika. So since the Triskel or the 666 is equivalent, so you can see that it's an occultic symbol either way. And then there's another book called the Royal Masonic Cyclopedia of History, Rites, Symbolism, and Biography. And in there they explain that this swastika was actually the hammer of Thor, celebrated in the mythology of the Norse nations. In masonry, we find this hammer of Thor exceedingly important and of very ancient usage among the Goths, and in the Masonic fraternity, it has survived in the form of the mallet. So when they use that mallet or the gavel in the lodge, it's really another symbol of the swastika. We see that Rudyard Kipling, a Mason, has used the swastika as his symbol. And I think most Masons have no idea that really the swastika itself was a Masonic symbol. It's an older form of what they call the Tau Cross. Now, they'll recognize that. That's sort of like just a T, and they put their feet in this formation to form a T in the lodge. And the Tau Cross, again, is really just another symbolism of the Ankh. And we find, obviously, that these are occultic symbols. They're used by the occultist, Alice Bailey, and others, or it wasn't now, it was Helena Petrova-Blavatsky said that the swastika is really another phallic symbol. So we see that all these symbols used over and over by masonry, theosophists, the occultists, witches, New Agers, all these people are nothing more than symbols of their gods, their representation of Lucifer, and then, of course, it goes to the sexual connotation. And it was in the book, Women's Mysteries, it tells us there, that among the Hindus, the right-handed swastika represents the male principles, life, light, and glory. It's the sun in its daily course from east to west. The left-handed swastika is, on the contrary, the emblem of the goddess Kali. It is the female principle, darkness, death, and destruction. These are the four-armed swastikas based on the equilateral cross. In addition, three-armed or three-legged swastikas called triskels also occurred, for example, in Sicily and Celtic countries. A three-legged swastika is the official emblem or arms of the Isle of Man, where the Celtic moon goddess, under the title of Anu or Aeneas, was formerly worshipped. So again, we see the swastika is a Masonic symbol, and if Masons would read old Masonic books, you don't find it in a newer Masonic book today. Since Hitler's been on the scene, it sort of seems to have disappeared from Masonic books. But if Masons can get a hold of the 19th century and early 20th century literature, they can see the swastika used and bragged up. And I don't think too many of them today would be happy with that symbol. I wish they would read their own literature.
Well, that's the problem. People don't really realize that Adolf Hitler was deeply involved with the occult. That's where he got his supernatural power. That's where he could just hold audiences for hours at a time, just almost literally mesmerizing. We'll be right back with Dr. Kathy Burns.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the roof room of the Eastern Coast a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts, entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-MORE, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-MORE now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about a couple of the products. One of them, of course, we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them. But we can tell you that people who use those tell us the most amazing stories. That people tell me that, you know, it's taken away their acne, it's taken away their skin rashes, and they've used a neutralizer for heartburn. All we can do is suggest, if you want to try using these products, they may help you. We can't make any medical claims for them, but I will tell you that people who use them sure do. And, of course, if you'd like to find out more about them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, which is a very, very alkaline solution. There's a gel and a lotion. And if you give us a call, you can get it at all, a complete set at a reduced cost. I'm sure you'll be very happy if you do. And then, of course, let me mention we carry Phenopoly. It's a board game designed to teach you and your children and your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, it's five board games. They're played very much like Monopoly. It's a fun game to play. But in the process, you're going to learn to read and read properly. And in 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that has been done in the schools that were designed to deliberately dumb down our children. So if you're interested in getting a Phenopoly set, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, it's five board games, two bonus games, and then we throw in a couple of books there. Most of these programs will cost you $300, $400, $500. This one's $139.95. And we've had a large number of people who've been very, very happy with it. You will be, too. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon, Dr. Kathy Burns, who's written some wonderful, wonderful books we carry. Billy Graham and His Friends, of course, the Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, The Secrets of the Eastern Star, and we've got a couple of books on Masonry that we carry. And what else have you written, Kathy?
Well, you carry A Scriptural View of Hell, Alcoholics Anonymous on NASP, Hidden Secrets of Masonry, and then the three you mentioned. And then I have one on Mormonism. I have another one on speaking in tongues. I have another one, I'm trying to think now, Securing Christ. I have one on World Order. I have 11 books all total.
All right, fine. Of course, a book on hell, I think, is so important. Most people aren't really interested in hell now. We've got a four-tape set and that book on hell, and I will tell you it's something you should read because Christ talked a lot more about hell than he talked about heaven. And the trouble is they've changed the message and the music of our churches, and we don't really want to convict you any longer and make you feel bad and realize that we're all sinners saved by grace. Well, let's get back to our symbols. And, of course, there are so many of the others you were talking about. Of course, the swastika. And I actually have a copy of Rudyard Kipling's early books. And there, right on the front cover, is the swastika. And I've seen on the New King James Bible that, of course, intertwining 666 symbol. You know, people say, oh, well, that wasn't why I was put there. Well, so many of these symbols have a dual meaning. They'll have one meaning to you and I, but they'll have an entirely different meaning to the occultist, won't they?
That's very true. And not only that, when they tell us that that symbol on the King or the New King James Bible represents the ancient form of the Trinity, we have to ask, what ancient form of the Trinity? Egypt had the Trinity, Osiris, Isis, and Horus. Which Trinity are they referring to? We have to ask that question as well. But, again, if that symbol is so much the symbol of the Trinity, why are the witches and the occultists so enthralled with it if it's a symbol of Christianity?
Sure. And of course, it's amazing how gullible Christians can be, because they can't believe there could be people working within the church, professing Christianity and talking about love of Christ, who are actually agents of Lucifer himself.
That's true. And just about 2 weeks ago, I got a catalog from an occult place called Abyss, is one of their titles, A-B-Y-S-S, meaning, of course, hell or the pit. And on their Book of Shadows, which is a journal that the witches write in, there's that triskele symbol, just like on the King James or the New King James Bible. It's the same symbol. So, I mean, this is a symbol used by them. They love this symbol. And, of course, like you mentioned, Marilyn Ferguson and ones like this, they all fall over it. So would it really be representing the Christian Trinity? And if perchance it did, would you still want a symbol that would identify you with the occultist? I wouldn't.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California, 464-8295, if you'd like to give us a call. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, of course, now what are some of the other symbols that are there, Dr. Burns?
Well, the eagle, we see that everywhere today as well. And that's another frequently identified symbol in masonry. And it's identified with the phoenix. And in the Masonic Bible was this question. They asked, what is the symbolism of the eagle in Freemasonry? And the answer given was, the eagle has been a symbol among the different peoples of the world from time immemorial. In Egypt, Greece, and Persia, it was sacred to the sun. Among pagans, it was the emblem of Jupiter. Among the Druids, it was the symbol of their supreme god, unquote. The July 1998 issue of the Scottish Rite Journal also tells us that the eagle is a symbol of regeneration and rebirth. There is a degree, the 15th degree in masonry, which is called Knight of the Eagle, and the 30th degree is called the Knight of the White and Black Eagle. And, of course, that white and black eagle really symbolize the yin and yang, or the opposites. Again, another occult symbol, another symbol related to the triskele, or the 666. And then I found, I believe it was an occult magazine, but there was an ad for a belt buckle, and it says this, the eagle is also one of the most ancient symbols of the supernatural and the occult. In Egypt and Greece, it was sacred to the sun. It was also the venerated bird of Zeus. For the learned Druids, it was the transcendent, their foremost divinity. The Roman legions adopted it as a consecrated mascot, unquote. And just to throw this in, the word mascot actually comes from a French word meaning witch. We always hear, you know, the football teams have their mascot and all. But I thought that was an interesting meaning. If you actually go and check it out, that word mascot really means witch. Well, anyway, the eagle was worshipped by the Greeks as a god of lightning, and in mysticism, the eagle represented initiation. Albert Pike, the Mason that we've talked about so many times before, he tells us this, quote, the eagle was a living symbol of the Egyptian god Mendes and the representation of the sun, unquote. Now, of course, you know who the satanic god is of Mendes. You know, that's your Baphomet. So this eagle is actually Baphomet's emblem. And then Manly Palmer Hall, another occultist and another 33rd degree Mason, tells us this, quote, the eagle was also the hermetic symbol of sulfur and signified the mysterious fire of Scorpio, the most profoundly significant sign of the zodiac and the gate of the great mystery. Being one of the three symbols of Scorpio, the eagle, like the goat of Mendes, was an emblem of the theurgic or the magic art and the secret processes by which the infernal fire of the scorpion was transmuted into the spiritual light fire of the gods, unquote. And then in a Masonic book, A Bridge to Light, which is now replacing a lot of Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, they are sort of saying that the Masons are a little too dumbed down because of our educational system and they can't understand morals and dogma. So they've come out, and a lot of the new initiates get the Bridge to Light rather than Morals and Dogma now. And in there it tells us that the double-headed eagle is symbolic of the past and the future. And then there's another symbol, which would be the snake, which represents regeneration and, of course, that's your rebirth. And they use the snake in a lot of their degrees. There's they have it, I believe it's in the 21st or 25th degree. It's called the degree of the brazen serpent. They have this wrapped around the Tau cross. So they like to use both the eagle and the snake. And, of course, the snake's supposed to be guardians of the springs of life and immortality, and you're supposed to use that to find the hidden treasure. And the snake was also the important symbol for the Gnostics. And, again, we see this here as the scriptures tell us the serpent represented Satan or Lucifer. So they're taking symbols of Satan over and over and over again and loving and idolizing and reverencing these symbols. And you have to say, why? Their God knows why he's using these symbols. I wish their people could see it.
I wish they would, too. Well, let's go to Mark calling from Monterey. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. I wanted to bring up some of the Internet services. Are you aware of some of the occult symbols for the logos of the Internet services? For example, Prodigy has a circle with a pentagram inside of it, and AOL has a pyramid with a circular orb inside of it, orb.
I commented on that. That's very much like the symbol on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid with the all-seeing eye in it. Yeah, of course they know. But you see, somebody knows the significance of these. The average individual looks at it every day and never even sees it.
Exactly. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Mark. And, okay. Of course,
Hello?
I'm sorry. If you're off there in the listening audience, why, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or at 464-8295. Dr. Burns has spent so much time analyzing and cataloging all these. We've got Rick calling from Texas. Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
Fine. I just wanted to give everybody a warning about reading, just going and getting the book Morals and Dogma. Because that book has a lot of evil in it. I accidentally told somebody about it, and they went to the library. We got it in our library, and they checked it out. And within one day, they got arrested for public intoxication. The next day, a drunk driver hit them. So, I mean, unless you're prayed up, you're messing with some real spiritual authority there.
Well, you certainly don't want to start a reading of these things unless you're firmly founded in the scriptures and you know the Lord. I agree with you. I don't suggest that people start studying this unless you're somebody like Dr. Burns, who's a researcher, or myself, who, but even some of this stuff even scares me.
Well, people just ask you, where you get your information, and you tell them, but people, you have to be aware that this stuff has power.
It sure does. Let's get Dr. Burns' comment on what Rick is saying.
I do not recommend at all that they read these things, except that I wish the Masons would know what their own literature taught them. Like if they would turn to The Lost Keys of Freemasonry by Manly Palmer Hall, which is on a recommended reading list for the Masons from the Iowa Masonic Lodge, and then in that book, you'll find about the seething energies of Lucifer are in the Mason's hand until he can use these energies. I don't recommend they read these books, but I wish they could see some of this material that they would at least know what their literature teaches, for proof. But again, if they are not prayed up, and even many times if they are, this is not material to go to. It's nothing to play with. It is scary. And it is I only do it as proof and to give the actual backup quotes, but to actually recommend these books, no way.
But I would suggest that if Rick, get people to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because we put the salient quotations in there, and then if you want to find them in their books, they're there, and hopefully they'll realize that, of course, they're facing eternal damnation.
So your book isn't dangerous then?
No, my book isn't dangerous.
Good, okay.
Brotherhood of Darkness. Bye-bye. Thanks All right. so much for calling, Rick. Okay, well, there's interesting, and maybe just coincidence, but you never know. Certainly, I will tell you that there really is power in these words. There's power in the Bible, but there's power in the words that come from the dark side. And you dabble in this at your at your own risk.
Yes, and that power, they have nothing to combat it with if they are not a Christian.
Right.
At least if we're reading it, you know, we can pray and ask the Lord to protect us from these evil powers, but they have nothing to pray with. They have no support. They have no background, no covering of Christ's blood upon them. And it is dangerous. It's very dangerous. And even if you read a lot of the occult material, many times, especially when they're talking like about the Kundalini, which is, again, that serpent that's supposed to rise up during the yoga or in meditation and so forth, and they also tell us in the Masonic Lodge that this Kundalini can be activated. But when you read their literature time and time and time again, there is a warning there. These powers are dangerous. Be very careful. You have to do the ritual precisely or the demons will attack. Though sometimes some of the books will even give you these scare stories that there was a little break in the hexagram when they went to form the symbol around them to call up the demons, and of course the demon broke through and killed them, or whatever. I mean, they will warn you themselves. The powers are not to be played with.
And of course, the difficulty is that the average Christian doesn't really believe in demons. They don't believe people are demon-possessed, and yet they really are. And we are involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political battlefield, and most people don't even know there's a battle going on. They just want to feel good. And unfortunately, feeling good is not going to be give you any opportunity to be effective in this struggle for the survival of Western civilization, for the survival of Christian civilization.
That's right. And the thing is, there's more Christians who seem to not believe in the evil side than the sinners, because the sinners have seen the evil. But the Christians just sort of brush it off and don't want to even be bothered with it. I've been told several times, oh, there's no such thing as witches. I thought, well, if you saw the material I saw, you'd say differently.
Sure.
But they don't want to believe in it. No, there's no such thing out there. But if there was no such thing, why did the Bible give warning after warning after warning? There's not to be any among you that has a familiar spirit. Or about, it mentions the witchcraft. And if the Bible's filled with the divination and the warnings against these things, if there were no witches, if there were none of these evil forces there, the Bible wasted a lot of precious space warning against it.
Let's go to AJ calling from Carmel. Hi, AJ.
The author, does she know what or maybe you do too, Dr. Stan, on the Great Shield, Seal of California? The woman with the helmet, the spear, and the shield sitting there?
I don't
know. What does that represent?
I don't know that. Do you know that?
And the American Indians used the symbol of the swastika years ago.
Yes.
Sure.
How did that come about? Okay.
Well, they use it. See, again, most of those who use it as a symbol of the sun. That I believe that's the Indian representation of the swastika as well. And I do not know what person you're referring to or what goddess. I would take a guess, and I may be wrong, but I would take a guess that they're trying to represent Athena. They put her on a lot of the seals, the goddess of wisdom, and her symbol, I believe she had a dove for an emblem and a spear, a warrior, I believe, as well. But I would take a guess, but don't quote me on it.
Okay, fine. Sorry, I can't help you on that anymore, AJ.
Well, somebody out there knows.
Maybe somebody does. If they do, give us a call for AJ.
Yeah.
Thanks so much,
Colin.
Okay, fine. Well, we're just about out of time. We've got about two or three more minutes. So, you know, but this is such an important subject, and we've just gone through one chapter, and, you know, I think we're on chapter 19 we're talking about. But how many chapters are that book altogether?
21.
21. So there's a lot of important information, and we recommend the book, Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated. You read this thing through, and it'll change your life because you begin to see these symbols every place that you never recognized before.
Well, there was a witch, he said, that a former witch, he said, you know, they always have to mark their symbols, or their products even. You'll pick up a lot of products and you'll see these symbols on it, and you're saying, what are they? But he says, I could never figure out what Heinz's ketchup was. Now, Heinz is a Mason. And he tried to figure, and all of a sudden it hit me one day, the logo itself, the form of the ketchup label was in the keystone, which is one of the Masonic symbols. So actually their label was the logo. See, but they do have it, and if you know where to look or how to look, these things will jump out at you all of a sudden. Or you might see pieces of one. You might see, well, the circle is one, and then the point within the circle, or like you were mentioning about the pyramid with the eye inside. Many times they combine two, three symbols together, but all of a sudden, if you, especially looking at my book, you'll see this, and then you can pick out parts of each one of these, and you'll be able to see so much more. It is fascinating. It really is.
It really is, and of course, every major federal building in the United States, almost every one of them, has a Masonic plaque on the cornerstone.
Yes. And see, there again, when they would lay the cornerstone, originally, in the pagan religions and all, they would always offer a sacrifice up to the gods that owned that property before they'd lay it. And of course, as time went on, they decided not to sacrifice human beings, so they start using the corn, wine, and oil in the Masonic. And many times this is used when they lay that Masonic cornerstone.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you so very much for being with us. I hope we can get you back on again. That was a fascinating hour.
Okay, thank you, and God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention that there will be a meeting put on by the Southwest Church, Southwest Radio Church. It's going to be a week from Saturday. It's going to be in Pleasanton, where Highway 680 and 580 cross at the Hilton Hotel there. I'm going to be speaking, and they're going to have Noah Hutchings and several other people from the Southwest Radio Church. And if you're interested in going, why, of course, you can call the Southwest Radio Church. And if you call ahead of time, they don't charge you for admission. If you don't call ahead of time, they charge you, I think, $10 to get in. But it should be a fascinating program. And I will be giving the talk on Iraq, the Untold Story, how all of the wars of the last century have been contrived. That's, of course, starts at 9 o'clock on the 20th of September. And that is, of course, a week from this coming Saturday at Pleasanton, where Highway 680 and 580 cross at the Hilton Inn. If you want to know anything more about it, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get my video, the Iraq, the Untold Story, it really gives you the background of all the wars and why they were started. None of them were started for the reasons that men who fought and bled and suffered and died were told. We have a syllabus that goes with that that documents everything we say, and you'll see letters to Colonel House and letters from Winston Churchill and a lot of the things we've collected through the years that begin to bring everything all together. So if you'd like to get the video and or the syllabus, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, let's hope that by a week from Saturday, about a week from now, my voice will be back to its regular sound. Otherwise, it'll be a difficult hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to thank all of you out there who have been praying for my voice, because it really is getting better and stronger. And I hope a week from now, when I'm speaking up in Pleasanton there to the audience that, the Southwest Radio Church is going to have, that's on the 20th of September, my voice will hopefully be almost back to normal. But this is the time when I have to remind our radio listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we buy time on radio stations all across the country, and shortwave and internet, and our Saturday program is now heard on 35 different stations. People are hearing the truth that they're never going to hear elsewhere, but it all has to be paid for, and we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and giving us a hand. And of course, for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, and you'll get our monthly newsletter. But of course, the rest of the money goes into paying for the radio bills, so you become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, of course, we'll be glad to send it to you. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then please go to our website at radioliberty.com. And, of course, there you can read our newsletters. They're posted there going back many years. And there really are a lot of fascinating information, and they're well-documented. And we encourage you to pull them down and bind them, pull them down and copy them and distribute them, because we have to get people thinking. We have to get them to understand they've involved us in World War III. And unless we intervene as the people, we will never live in a peaceful world again, and we will certainly lose our freedom. And they will destroy this country, and they will destroy the value of your savings. They're in the process now of shipping your industries offshore to impoverish the American people. They know exactly what they're doing. The one thing they fear is that somebody's going to tell the American people that they're out to destroy this country. The dollar is falling. You see the rising price of precious metals simply because the dollar is really so much trouble. Because, of course, it's a fiat currency with absolutely nothing behind it. And, of course, it's controlled by people whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to the New World Order and the New World Religion. And if you don't know the background of our central bank, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book, or you can get the book and the video and the and our audio tape is a Brotherhood of Darkness special. Or just get the book by itself. It's $12.95. If you read it, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. And you'll understand Adolf Hitler and Winston Churchill and Henry Ford and J.P. Morgan and what the Rockefellers are really up to. And it will give you an entirely different perspective of why we go to war. Well, we hope that, of course, many of you out there will tell others about our website. If you go to our website, you will find the various products that we carry. One of them, of course, is the Berkey water filters. And if you're interested in buying one and you buy it to us, why, you can get a four-tape set or a video we produce free of charge. Our prices are very comparable to everybody else's. But, of course, nobody else has our free videos and free four-tape sets. So if you're interested in getting a water filter, a Berkey water filter, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, please tell others about our radio programs. Please tell others about our website and encourage them to go there and pull down our archive programs, or certainly pull down our live programs 5 hours a day. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, and we ask you to pray for our leaders, our ministers. Lastly, however, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you again, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.